Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Hope you're all well. Jason is back.
Oh, yeah.
Kareem is off.
Oh, yeah.
Kareem, for some reason, decided now is the time to go to Trump country.
Of course.
He is on his way to North Dakota.
The big ND.
Into the red states he goes.
There's some very fine people out there.
I'm sure there are. coming up on the show today, a new feature. We'll call it a feature.
It's, all right.
It's terrible, but we're going to call it a feature.
Oh.
It's This Week in Racist A-Holes.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's about time.
And if you're asking, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this, especially with Kareem not here? And the answer is this. Whenever there were stories about black-on-black crime and black families being split up, the thing that was always thrown back in everybody's face was, why isn't the black community doing anything to police itself? Right?
Right.
Okay. So I've come to the realization that it's time for the white community to start policing itself with its racist assholes.
I agree with that.
It's become far, I don't know that how much more prevalent it's become. It's become, much more out in the open. I think there's been a lot of emboldened racists, a lot of people who think that America has been made quote unquote great again. People who feel that maybe because the president says terrible racist things, it's okay for them to. They're finding out it's not. So we're going to go through them. And sadly, it's a very long list like it is every week. So we'll get to all that. And more fun stuff. But before we do, I want to welcome you back, Jason. How was your trek to upstate New York?
It was the ride there. I've almost never really had, until this time, delays at SAC, at the Sacramento International Airport.
Right.
Very rarely.
It sucks when it happens, though.
So there was a half hour delay because, get this, the pilot said this, that like an igniter went out, so they had to use the backup igniter. And in order to use the backup igniter to one of the engines, they had to get paperwork from San Francisco.
So the pilot light went off on the plane. That's what happened.
So half hour, you know, we wait for this paperwork to come in.
Sure.
We get to Dulles.
Because they couldn't fax or email paperwork.
Or it had to be generated, whatever it was.
Sure.
You know, thank God that it was on a Tuesday, when the paperwork could probably be pushed through pretty quickly if anybody needed to do anything.
Sure.
So that's how it started. We get to Dulles, and all the flights from Newark had been diverted to Dulles. or like a number of flights had been sent to Dulles. So there's a snafu with the gates, and so we had to wait in line to get into the right gate, and I had an hour and a half connection there at
Dulles. Okay.
So an hour and a half, so I'm already a half hour behind.
So now you have an hour, which when then you consider a half hour before they start boarding, you have 30 minutes.
Right, and now I'm on the tarmac there for like 30 minutes.
Okay, so your time's up.
So my time's up. Time's up, hashtag. And then a thunderclap happens, and like it just starts dumping rain. Like, dumping rain, thunder's coming down, lightning's coming down. The guy's like, oh, if the lightning comes down anywhere near the airport, we're going to have to shut down all of the...
Well, sure.
Yeah, like they have to shut everything down, and we can't even get off the plane, and they just have to stay where it is. And there's this lady in back of me who had gotten up, and we were still on the tarmac, and we weren't parked yet, and was like standing up already and had her luggage like bumping into me pretty much right next to me. And I get it. You're going to miss your flight. But there's other people on this flight that are going to miss their flight. And they're not, like, the seatbelt sign's still on. You still got to listen to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, anyhow, luckily every flight got delayed.
That's luckily, great.
Luckily every flight gets delayed because of this thunderclap that happened. So, thank God. Seriously, though. And I was able to get my flight. That's a 50-minute flight from there to Syracuse. It was a really quick flight. And it was cool coming into the Finger Lakes like that, being able to see, like, when you come into Syracuse that way, the Finger Lakes look like Finger Lakes. Like, they actually have a look of, like, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie.
There you go.
So we got there. And it was humid as fuck. Mm-hmm. Way humid. And like 90 degrees, 95 degrees, which is just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I was gonna be tough. And that, like, I could handle it, because I've dealt with real heat, like 115, 118 degree heat,
but
out
not
in Joshua Tree.
Not humidity.
Oh, my God. It's suffocating, dude.
yeah, the humidity was like John Cena.
Yeah. but it was awesome to see all the family. CJ was an amazing, like, it was amazing to see her get to meet everybody, or, like, get to meet everybody again. So that was really cool. She learned how to kind of jump almost. Which is a big step in the world of toddlers. So yeah, and now I'm back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
How long have you been back in town?
A week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were getting back late the night
back,
last week when we were recording.
I got back at 11:30 on Monday night. Yeah.
Crazy times. Crazy times.
For real.
Yeah, we had a lot going on. One of Leslie's friends is in visiting from the Netherlands.
Oh, awesome.
So we went out to dinner with her last night.
Very cool.
At Ella downtown, which is Leslie's favorite restaurant.
It's her favorite?
It is her favorite. It's fancy.
It is fancy.
It is fancy. It's steak month there, by the way. Free advertising for them.
steak month.
So I had the half chicken.
Oh.
Well, it's fancy, so it's a really limited menu.
Right.
So for them, steak month is they have three steaks on the menu.
Right.
They're like, it's steak month.
Right.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. That's any night of the week for me if I want it.
Right. They have whole places that just do nothing but steak. They're called steak houses.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you ordered too much this week. You can't just make it a month because you ordered too much.
whatever works for you.
Whatever works for you.
So we had that. We're in the midst of attempting to buy an electric car.
Yes.
The struggle is real, yo.
So California.
We've been to a couple of the dealerships, and we're dealing with just trying to get the good deal.
Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes you just have to walk away.
Yep.
When the deal's not right, and sometimes you got to wait to make the right deal, and we'll get there eventually. The good side of that is I've been meaning to clean my car out, because what we're going to do is we're going to trade in both of our cars.
Oh wow.
And I'm gonna take her 1999 Jeep.
It's like, what was it, a Cherokee?
Yeah.
All right, that's not bad though.
No. And we're getting it all taken. It has air conditioning now, so
that's awesome.
Everything has been taken care of, so it's a roadworthy vehicle.
Yeah.
But for the past, I would say at least 9 months, I would get in my car and I would look around in my car, and go, God, I really need to clean this out. And then I wouldn't. that was, and I guarantee you've done that too. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you've looked in your car and said, I really should clean this out. And then you don't.
Yeah.
So that was kind of nice, because I was thinking, okay, now today's the day we're going to trade it in. I don't want to be at the dealership doing all of this.
No.
Deciding what I want to keep and what I want to throw away and all of that. So I cleaned out my car, which was really nice to do. So now my car is cleaned out. I found a pocket schedule from the Rivercats from 2015.
That's awesome.
It's and my car is a 2015. So
yeah.
So it's yeah. been there since I got the car, pretty close. So that's the challenge. Buying a car is always exhausting.
Yeah.
And everybody who's like, "Oh no, we have this thing where we make it super easy and there's no haggling." That just means you're not getting a deal. No haggling means they're just going to set a price and fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it means that there's no discussion. Like,
and if you have a trade-in, there's always a discussion, because unless you go to someplace like CarMax, they'll come back and go, "Oh, we're going to give you this amount for your car," and you go, "No, that's not enough."
Yeah,
and then they go back and you have to do it at least three times before you will come to a point where they've reached the top of their thing. They never come out with the best number first and go, "Look, this is it." If they do that, then they're probably underpaying you for it on the regular. So there's always that challenge of dealing with the whole thing. And it's so frustrating because you can't get mad, because the person out front, the car salesman, quote unquote, that's the nice person. That's the person you deal with. They're super nice. They're super friendly. You just want to sit and chat with them because they're nice people. And then you got the other people that come around. Yeah. The ones that go around to the back, and then they come back out and go, "Ooh, you know, we did this, but they wouldn't do this and they wouldn't do that." And it's like, you're they.
Yeah.
You're part of they. Stop. Who are you trying? Who is this charade for? Who is this charade for, I say?
That is one of the reasons that it was nice to get our car from Hertz, like the way that we did, because it's like, bam. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you were buying a used car as well.
Yeah.
So that's a little different too.
Yeah.
Here's the only real, one of the only real problems with getting an electric car. All of the government incentives, and they are plentiful.
Yeah.
Between the federal tax credit, the rebate from the state of California, you don't get those if you buy a used electric car.
Mm.
You only get them if you buy a new one. Because if you buy a used electric car, you're not putting any more electric cars on the road.
Right.
And that's the incentive to get away from fossil fuels, or at least it was until Sweet Potato Hitler came in.
Hmm. Happens.
As Christopher Titus has dubbed him. By the way, good move, Ford. Hey, we're not going to make cars anymore, just trucks and Mustangs.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened immediately after that? Price of gas through the roof.
Yeah.
Dumbass. Good move. And by the way, I feel bad for you if you bought a Ford car in the past year or two, because your value of your car has gone down significantly.
Yeah, that was... I can't believe Ford just went out and...
Oh, I can.
Yeah?
Look, if you believe anything that... any part of the bill of goods that the president con man tells you, you're going to get hosed. They're going to get hosed.
Well, I didn't think that they believed him.
Well, they believed that the price of gas was going to stay low.
Oh.
Which is not going to happen when you kill the Iran deal.
Yeah, no.
And then you get into trade wars everywhere.
Yeah.
Trade wars all around.
Yeah.
So, anywho, that's fun. before we get into anything else, so Jimmy Kimmel went on vacation, much like you. He went to the middle of nowhere. And Jimmy did not have any real cell service other than a satellite phone. And when he came back, he had a story to tell about Donald Trump mentioning him at a rally. Let's take a listen.
We've been on summer vacation for the last 2 weeks, and a lot happened while we were gone. The Lakers signed JaVale McGee. It was big. That was a big thing. They said it could put them back in title contention. I missed a lot of the news because I was in the wilderness over the break. I was in the Bob Marshall Wilderness in Montana, which is a beautiful place. We rode in on horses 30 miles, and we got in boats and fished for a week with no motorized vehicles, no cell service, no Wi-Fi. That I didn't know was happening. I knew we wouldn't have cell service. I did not know we wouldn't have Wi-Fi in the
Ironically, Trump's rally also in Montana.
You can't Google anything. You have to actually know things. At some point, somebody said, what do we do if we run into a bear? So I went reflexively for my phone, and I was like, I guess we throw this at it? I don't know. All we had, our only communication with the outside world was a satellite phone, which cost like a full, like a Kia Soul a minute to operate. It's expensive. So the plan was to only use it for emergencies, but a couple of days into the trip, the guy who had the phone gets a text from my wife, and I was worried, you know, what's this about? And the text said, Donald Trump just attacked you at a rally. And then I said, well, what did he say? But the guy with the satellite phone lost the phone. He left the phone at one of our campsites. So that was all I knew, is that I was attacked. So I get home, and I immediately look it up, and here's what it was.
Jimmy Kimmel would meet me before the election. I'm telling you a true story. I don't even think you'd deny it. No talent, but I'd go to a studio to do a shot, you know, to do a thing.
By the way, when he says true story, you know it's not true.
No, it's true.
True story, believe me, those are his tells for it's a lie.
Mm. Would stand outside on the sidewalk waiting for me. Oh, here he comes, Donald Trump. Oh, he opens my door. I said, does he do this to everybody, to his people? He does it for nobody.
Right. Including you, I do it for nobody, because that never happens. You know, it's a funny thing. We all know, like, even the people who like the president know he makes things up, but still, it's weird to hear him tell a lie that specifically involves you. All of a sudden, you're like, wait, no, he's lying. That's not... For the record, not only was I not on the sidewalk waiting for him, opening the door to his car, I didn't even go to his dressing room to say hello before the show. I never do. In 15 years, I probably, I don't know, I've done it 7 times. I like to greet the guests on stage. I feel dumb saying hello to them and then saying hello again 10 minutes later. But I digress. None of that actually happened, but I'm sure he'll clear it all up here.
But he's waiting for me. 2 or 3 times I did a show before this all. Now I wouldn't do a show. That guy's terrible. But I do a show, and he's standing out on Hollywood, whatever, Boulevard, and... He's standing there, opening up the door, like going great. Oh, hello. I wasn't president. I was like a guy, right? A guy with potential.
With potential. A guy with potential to ruin everything that is good in the world. I just want to say, not only did I not go outside to greet him and call him sir when he was the host of the friggin' Celebrity Apprentice, can you imagine me standing outside waiting for guests on Hollywood Boulevard? You guys have been on Hollywood Boulevard. Let's take a look at Hollywood Boulevard. Let's send a camera out there. So that's Hollywood Boulevard. Our guests don't even come in this way through the front door. They come in the back from the alley. But
the TMZ tour bus is out front.
The Secret Service would let the Republican nominee for president come in this way. No. I'll tell you what really happened, okay, as we see a man with a snake and fanny pack Superman strolling around. Donald Trump, this is what really happened that night. Donald Trump showed up one night outside our show, banging on the backstage door. It was 2007. He had a half-finished bucket of chicken under his arm. And he was screaming that he needed to use the bathroom. But unfortunately...
Oh, now it's going to buffer. right in the middle. The web here is going nuts. There was
someone in the bathroom. I believe it was Zach Braff who was in the bathroom. So Donald took a look around. He stuffed the remainder of the chicken in his jacket. He dropped his pants. He did his business in the bucket. That's true. That story is exactly as true as his was.
So we know the president lies. But I thought that was great. So I thought today, and I don't know if you have anything, if you have any recollections prepared, of our true interactions with Donald Trump. Do you have any recollection of your interaction with Donald Trump?
I have a couple.
Okay.
But pick
the one that's freshest.
Oh man. So, true story. One time, so I was at a Sizzler.
Oh, yeah.
And I was there just for the salad bar.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they had that, like, the all-you-can-eat salad bar, and they'd get the wings and stuff there. But lo and behold, Donald Trump walks in. And this is when he was just, a guy with potential.
Guy with potential.
He wasn't the president, president-elect or anything like that yet.
Sure.
Just a guy with potential. Came in there and just, you know, it's weird because he was so nice in one sense of like, it seemed like he was being nice, like saying like, but then he patted somebody on the head. And it was like, how do you pat like a grown man on the head? Like, you can't just pat somebody on the head, right? And he goes around, he's like everybody should be like, he walks right past the cash register, doesn't pay.
Oh.
Like, doesn't pay, grabs a plate and just starts loading it up with sour cream and just like,
wow,
puts a bunch of sour cream on it, right? Weird. Goes around, and this is like, they have like, the steak there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got the steak, extremely rare, like in the sour cream.
Oh, that's not like him at all.
No, it's not. Everybody knows that that's not like, but I'm telling you, like, I saw it. It was bloody rare. It was bloody rare. And then he got some church's chicken there too. I don't know.
Wow.
He got it. It's church's chicken. He's definitely a KFC guy, right?
Right.
And then when he was done, he took his shit right on the table.
Oh my God. That is.
and then he's like, was like all proud of himself. Was like all proud of himself. Sure enough, I mean, you can still go see it. It's at the Sizzler in Dublin, where I grew up.
Oh, yeah, in the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area.
East Bay.
Yeah, East Bay.
No,
yeah.
Okay.
It's like enshrined, like, so.
Well, yeah, now that he's president, of course.
Right.
Gotta go back and do that. Wow. I'll have my, true life, interaction with Donald Trump story, later on in the show, just before Small Town News. I think that's, I don't want to just overload people.
Yeah.
With our true stories of our interactions with Donald Trump. Just wouldn't be fair. All right, so here's how I'm going to handle this whole thing with Donald Trump essentially committing treason on live TV on Monday with Putin. I'm going to ignore most of that because I cannot find a way to make it funny. I apologize. Can't do it. See Seth Meyers if you're looking for that. So I have something from BuzzFeed, and this is, his meeting with NATO didn't go well either. But here are 15 of the weirdest things that he did at meetings of world leaders from the G20 to NATO. So this isn't just the NATO meetings. It also includes the G20. And I'm not sure if this includes, his complete inability to follow protocol with the Queen. He touched the Queen and then wandered off in front of her. Both large no-nos.
Hey, good for him. Fuck that fucking Queen.
Right?
Hey, fuck that Queen.
Yeah, we fought wars to get away
from
that.
Hey, we got away from that bitch.
Number one, when he told the Secretary General of NATO that Germany was totally controlled by Russia.
I don't think it's fair to the United States, so we're going to have to do something because we're not going to put up with it. We can't put up with it, and it's inappropriate. So we have to talk about the billions and billions of dollars that's being paid to the country that we're supposed to be protecting you against. You know, everybody's talking about it all over the world. They'll say, well, wait a minute, we're supposed to be protecting you from Russia. But why are you paying billions of dollars to Russia for energy? Why are countries in NATO, namely Germany, having a large percentage of their energy needs paid, you know, to Russia and taken care of by Russia? Now,
private companies, but
if you look at it, Germany.
By the way, I think he was just getting to his ridiculous point.
Is a captive of Russia because
they're not. Number two, when he stunned NATO leaders with a brand new policy and then apparently just left a meeting room, he tweeted, presidents have been trying unsuccessfully for years to get Germany and other rich NATO nations to pay more toward their protection from Russia. They only pay a fraction of their cost. The U.S. pays tens of billions of dollars, too much to subsidize Europe, and loses big on trade. there's an agreement in place for the NATO members to get their defense spending up to 2% of their gross domestic product by 2024.
Yeah.
Not right now. And then he lied about how much that we kick in, saying that we're at 4%. We're not. We're like at 3.6. Number three, when he said Russia should be real.
Don't we have like a huge military base in Germany?
Well, that may be going away soon.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure, like we do, right?
Yes, we do.
So there's a good reason for us to want, like, I mean, that's pretty much from what I know with the military, which is not necessarily that much. Mm-hmm. And this isn't from listening to any reports or anything like that. Like, but I mean, just from people, I'm pretty sure that's the main connector if you do doing anything in the Middle East.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Everybody, like, that's what you usually stop off there and get debriefed
mm-hmm.
on your road home.
Yeah. Or that's where you go back for your first major treatment for your wounds if you're injured somewhere over there. The other thing is that's a buffer point because if you remember back, think back to before David Hasselhoff tore down the wall. East Germany was under the control of the Soviets.
Yeah.
And so was Poland and Czechoslovakia, et cetera, all down through there.
Right.
And then the wall came down and the Soviet Union crumbled and those countries all became free.
And wasn't there somebody that was like a big architect of like a lot of like the count? Oh, KGB.
KGB. Russian secret police.
Yeah, Putin.
Putin. Right.
Yeah, yes. Putin. Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay. Oh, one of the guys is like the, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Enemy of the state, definitely, back 35 years ago.
Still is, honestly, but not if you ask the president. At the G7, he said that Russia should be readmitted.
Fucking A.
He described NAFTA as the second worst deal ever. And the World Trade Organization is the worst. He called German Chancellor Angela Merkel an excellent salesman. He said that Crimea is Russian because everyone who lives there speaks Russian. If that were true, we would still be part of England. You dipshit.
Oh,
you colossal dipshit. He turned up late to a breakfast meeting about gender equality. Shockingly enough, he tweeted that he's changed his mind about the final G7 leaders statement. So he went to the G7 conference, showed up late for meetings, left early, had signed off on the final statement that they all put out a joint statement. And then as soon as he left early, he tweeted that he changed his mind because of something that the Canadian Prime Minister said during a press conference. Tweeting, based on Justin's false statements at his news conference and the fact that Canada is charging massive tariffs to our U.S. farmers, workers, and companies, I've instructed our U.S. reps not to endorse the communique as we look at tariffs on automobiles flooding the U.S. market. Canada. I mean, that's essentially like, I don't know, shooting your little brother in the face. Pretty much. When he pushed aside the Prime Minister of Montenegro at last year's NATO summit, you know, to make his way to the front.
Mm-hmm.
People were very proud of that too. The Trump people. He casually got up after dinner at the G20 to chat with Putin, you know, cause they're pals. Or at least that's what he wants. He let his daughter Ivanka take his place during a G20 meeting last year. He gave a speech so weird that other world leaders couldn't quite understand what he was talking about and just starting looking at each other somewhat confused. I do that at most of his speeches. He said he wanted to shake President Emmanuel Macron's hand, but Macron just swerved away from him. He doesn't care for Trump, clearly. When he finally did shake his hand, Macron gave him the firm handshake.
Mm.
Trump's famous for wanting to do the big Woodson handshake.
Yeah.
And Macron grabbed the fuck out of his hand and just crushed it. Which is hilarious. And then finally, when the leaders of the UK, Italy, Germany, France, Japan, and Canada went for a walk through the small cobbled streets in Sicily while Trump followed them in a golf cart.
Do you know what I would do if Trump tried to shake my hand and try to do that saw thing? I would just do the thing where you tickle the person's center of their palm with your middle finger. Like, to me, like, just like as soon as he tries to do, like, you're like, that's what I, cause like, fuck you, man.
I'd give him the Three Stooges eye poke.
Yeah, I just slap him in my other hand. But I don't want to get killed or shot by the Secret Service.
Bag tap?
Back tap?
Yeah, just the back knuckle back tap. That's what you do. Speaking of Trump, Stormy Daniels, who fucked him once,
it could have been twice or three times, depending on how quick it was.
Sure, she got arrested in a sting at a strip club in Ohio. The next day, charges were dropped.
Yeah.
Because it was bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you know how we'll help? We'll do this. More on Ohio later on in the show.
Oh, my God.
And finally, before we get to some other things, Amazon Prime Day, as we're recording it, it's still going on. By the time you hear this, it will be over. Did not get off to the greatest of starts. Basically, if you tried to get onto Amazon during the first few hours of Prime Day on Monday, you likely got a picture of a disappointed-looking dog, mm-hmm. which is their error page. It was hilarious. They did finally get it fixed, and I did purchase an Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh, nice.
Because they were half price. And nice. Hopefully if you engaged in Amazon Prime Day, you clicked through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Hopefully
you did.
Better have.
Anytime you shop Amazon, go ahead and do that. It helps support us here. It doesn't cost you anything extra. We appreciate you when you do it.
It costs you nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, it takes a little away from the man and puts it in our pocket.
Boom.
Our pocket. It's just really interesting. It's just like every time you would refresh, it would be a different dog. Yeah. And the dogs all kind of have this look like, okay, so I shit on the carpet. Don't be mad.
Yeah. 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 I saw them all day yesterday.
So you were trying?
I was hoping to find something, but, and I got something. I'm not sure if it went through the site because I had it, like I was doing it on my phone.
Ah.
But it was ridiculous. Like, and then they wanted to re-verify my credit card information and stuff like that. Like, all of a sudden, like, they haven't wanted to re-verify that for the last 20 times I've tried to buy something.
Mm.
But this all of a sudden, this time, they want to, I just happened to forget my wallet.
Of course you did.
At home. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Son of a bitch! I'm so angry!
Hate when that happens.
Pieces of shit!
Hate when that happens.
Stupid, left my stupid wallet at home. Stupid wallet should have been in my pocket. Should have gotten in my pocket.
So anyway, Amazon Prime Day.
Amazon Prime.
Do it. Do it up.
Is it always on the 17th or is it always on the 2nd or 3rd?
I don't know. I don't keep track.
There has to be something.
I heard somebody say it was like Black Friday for the internet, and I'm like, no, that's Cyber Monday.
Yeah, it's Cyber Monday.
That is Cyber Monday. All right, so I mentioned it earlier in the show.
It's more than ever. Reach our users with Spotify Ad Studio. It's our simple, new, self-serve platform to create and manage
FYI.
Audio ads.
New click sponsor on the show, Spotify.
Yeah,
Ad Studio.
Yeah, thanks. Don't let me play anything. All right, so this is a new song by Bad Religion. It's called The Kids Are Alt-Right. And why am I playing this? Well, it's because it's time for This Week in Racist A-Holes. Let's start with Papa John. Their Papa John's shares fell by almost 6% last week after the Pizza Jane's founder confirmed a report that he had used the N-word back in May. John Schnatter was on a conference call with a marketing agency at the time, according to the Forbes report. The call was meant as a role-playing exercise to help him avoid future public relations messes. So how's it working out? Like the one last year when he blamed the NFL's national anthem kneeling controversy for declining pizza sales. What a dick. During the call, sources say that he attempted to downplay his NFL comments by noting that, and I'm going to quote, Colonel Sanders of KFC called blacks the N-word, except he actually used it, and never faced backlash for it. I'll remind you and Papa John that Colonel Sanders died a very old man in 1980.
And that does not erase the fact that he was racist.
Right. Right. And what? Yeah, they didn't take to Twitter in 1978 to go, that fucking Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
He recently stepped down as CEO as a Papa John, but was still closely tied to the brand's image until last Wednesday. Yeah, now he's not. He doesn't even have an office there.
Do you think they're going to rebrand?
They have taken his face off of everything.
Yeah, but it's still called Papa John.
It is, and you can choose to eat their shitty pizza if you like, but...
I know, man, that butter sauce is so amazing, and that jalapeno, it's like, oh, it's so awesome.
All right, well, tastes like racism.
I'm just kidding. Like, who puts a fucking pepperoni on the top of a pizza?
Assholes. A rep told CNBC the company condemns racism and any insensitive language, no matter the situation or setting. Unless you're doing an improv show. No, the gin blossoms are not appropriate for this.
Fuck you, gin blossom.
Our next racist asshole comes to us from the East Bay of California.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if you think that everybody around San Francisco is all liberal and touchy-feely, you're very, very wrong about that.
I stood there and tried to rationalize with that man, and he didn't even care.
When a group of kids entered the Cornology popcorn shop in Emeryville Sunday, what Faye Eastman Adam recalls happening is shocking.
And I saw the group of kids walk up. It was like a group of about 10. And so next thing I know, he's chasing them out of the store, saying, get out of here. Don't come back here. Ends. But he said the full word. I wasn't expecting that.
When Faye shared her outrage on Facebook over what store owner Mark Stone said to the kids, the post went viral with almost 3,000 reactions and more than 6,500 shares.
He didn't apologize to me once.
I have asked forgiveness.
We convinced Mark to talk to us on camera and give his side of the story. He says this is why he used that racial slur.
I'm guessing 15 young African Americans just ran into the store. One took a soda and threw it up against the wall.
Why is he making up these stories? You know, he's got people upraged like, oh, I was robbed. I was there. I didn't see those kids running out with bags of popcorn.
There is no surveillance video from that day, but Emeryville police tell us there have been a couple petty thefts at the store since last fall. But whatever did happen inside the store, Mark admits there is no excuse for using the racial slur.
I said something in the heat of a stressful situation, and I regret it. And I am sincerely sorry to the black community for doing that.
I know what you're thinking. This is a story of he said versus she said, all because of a conversation that happened on Facebook. The mayor of Emeryville, he says this conversation now needs to take place face to face.
I mean, we're talking about somebody who made racist statements directed at children in our community.
As for Faye, her message to the Bay Area, change only happens when someone decides to speak up.
My family and other African Americans have been fighting that for generations. I'm not going to still fight that in 2018. That's not my responsibility to keep fighting.
So like I said, it's time for the white community to step up and say, fuck you, racist. Stop being so fucking racist.
Fucking racist, man. Like, the thing that fucking sucks about, like, how racist that dude is that, like, even if those kids had done anything wrong, like, he's a fucking racist. Like, it doesn't matter.
Right. In the heat of the moment, he didn't call them fuckers.
Yeah.
He didn't call them assholes.
Yeah,
he didn't call them cocksuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
He used a racial epithet.
Yeah.
That was his go-to. By the way, the mayor of Emeryville has the most ridiculous outfit ever.
Yeah. That, well, that bow tie that he had, those are made by somebody, those types of bow tie.
Describe that bow tie.
It's like a wooden bow tie. Like, I've seen them before. It's etched or, like, you know, carved in.
It's got musical notes on one side.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's musical notes on, if you look at him, on the right, and I believe a guitar or a violin, I can't tell, on his right, our left, as we look at him. And his suit.
Maybe somebody, one of his constituents, you know, maybe one of the citizens of Emeryville got for him. But here's the thing, though. Like, somebody made it for him. I've lived by corner stores near high schools for a long time in my life, like many years of my life.
Right.
Now, I live across the street from a corner store.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first one that doesn't have a sign on it that says leave all backpacks up at the front.
Right.
Because high school kids are assholes. I've seen them at the store across from me, like, like run in there and like 8, 9, 10 kids, like, go in there and, like, kind of swarm the place and then leave with everybody having chips and sodas. Like,
right.
I've seen it happen. So, I don't question the possibility or the validity of what, like, the woman said that that's not what happened. So that's not what happened. But I've seen that happen before. So, like, I can. Anyhow, the guy's a fucking racist. The guy that owns the corner store by my house didn't run out yelling
the N-word.
Yeah, no, he didn't. It might be because he's
not a racist.
Yeah, because he's not a racist.
Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, it's right. But you know, I mean, I've seen him get really upset before with some kids, like come out of the store with a bat.
Sure. And if this guy runs out of the popcorn shop saying, "Get out of here, you little fuckers."
Yeah, it's a whole different conversation.
It's a completely different conversation.
It's a whole different conversation.
It absolutely is.
So, like, that guy's here's the thing. Now he knows he's a racist. Everybody's gonna tell him he's a racist. So. Maybe he'll get some help and work on himself.
I believe he saw his business flash before his eyes.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
There's has to be more white guys that are fucking racist. White people.
We've only just begun.
All right.
A new study shows that since 2008, more white people in the U.S. oppose welfare programs, in part because of increasing racial resentment. One of the reasons for this opposition, according to the report, is white Americans' perceptions that they might be losing their financial and social status while people of color make gains in those areas. Which is exactly what Kareem said a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The researchers, a professor of sociology at Stanford and a doctoral candidate in sociology at Cal Berkeley, have conducted other studies that linked racial bias and the Tea Party movement. Shocking. While conducting the recent study about opposition to welfare, they showed respondents graphs that they had fabricated. The fictional data demonstrated white Americans becoming minority or showed the income of white Americans decreasing as the incomes of people of color increased. The researchers wanted to understand how the behavior of white Americans shifted when they perceived different things, even if untrue, about certain racial groups and how they were faring. Quote, "We find evidence that welfare backlash among white Americans is driven in part by feelings that the status of whites in America is under threat." That is a key message of people like Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Despite those perceptions, other research has found that white people are the biggest beneficiaries of government safety net. According to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, white people make up the largest share at 52% of people lifted from poverty by safety net programs, while black people make up less than a quarter of the share. And when it comes to receiving Medicaid, white people make up 43% of recipients, Hispanics only about 30%, African Americans 18%, with 9% identified as other. Relax, white people. Just because another group is starting to come up, It's not a zero-sum game. There's not just one piece, there's not just one pie, and if they're getting enough so they're not starving, it doesn't mean that you're going to lose yours. And if you think that, that's racist.
Yeah. Don't be a fucking racist.
Don't be a racist, white people. All right. But there's more, Jason.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, it's so important.
We go now to a...
another racist.
Hold on. Well, this one's on a bus. Oh. So last week we had a racist on a bus in New York, and this week we have a different racist on a bus in New York.
All right. Cool.
Okay. It was a little hard to hear. Basically what she said was, I'm getting into a fight. And now she's addressing the cell phone camera at this point.
Right, yeah.
And she says, I'm getting into a fight with some Muslim chick because she has an attitude because she thinks she has rights that she doesn't have. Hey, lady. You're riding a bus. You don't get to determine who has what rights. At the end, she said, oh, wait, is that ICE? They're here for you.
That's a funny not joke.
That's the new one. By the way, racists hate other people other than just black. It's not just black people.
Oh, yeah, no. They're equal opportunity haters.
Mm-hmm. Some hate just black people. Some people hate all people of color. Or anything that isn't Christian.
Listen, hold on a second. They don't hate them. They just think they should live elsewhere and mm-hmm. not mix with us.
Right. it's really the feeling of being threatened, like, I'm going to lose out.
A lot of people have that, right?
I'm going to lose out. If that person gets something, I'm going to lose out.
Which is playing into the fear.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned we'd be back in Ohio soon, and here we are. Let's get some music going in the background again. This song, by the way, is White People for Peace by Against Me. A little different message, but it's about white people. A fledgling paperboy working alongside his mother in suburban Columbus, Ohio, came face to face with a cop after a neighbor thought he was up to no good. The nosy neighbor spied on the 12-year-old boy, who's black, as he hopped out of a van, walked up to a handful of Upper Arlington homes. She initially assumed he was delivering newspapers, but she told authorities she thought other... Oh, she initially assumed he was delivering newspapers. She told authorities, but soon thought otherwise. So I noticed they were walking up to houses with nothing in hand, and one of them came back with something. It seemed kind of suspicious. So she called 911. The mother explained to the officer, dispatch, that her youngest son had delivered his papers to the wrong home and was picking them up. The cop quickly determined that's exactly what the Sharps were doing. Problem solved, right? In the Facebook post, his mother said she was teaching her sons how to work. You know, what you goddamn racists have been complaining about.
Listen, it's an important lesson to learn that the cops can be called on you. You know, even when you're just doing your job.
Right, even when you're trying to learn to work. She wrote on Facebook, the first day of the paper route and were pulled over by the police. Sad I can't even teach my son the value of working without someone whispering and looking at us out of the side of their eye because we don't look like a person that belongs in their neighborhood. She then said she'd change the paper route to avoid that neighborhood. Over the weekend, the police department issued a statement explaining the response in an attempt to squash worries of racial bias, saying, we've seen some conversations on Facebook relative to a police response to a report of suspicious activity that turned out to be completely benign. Now, their encounter with police is not an isolated incident. The number of cases of white people calling the cops on people of color for mundane activities have made a lot of headlines lately. including Bob Marley's granddaughter being confronted by police at an Airbnb, and a Yale student taking a nap at her student lounge, three black women golfing in Pennsylvania. There's more. Also in Ohio, Toledo police say a woman spray-painted Hail Trump and a racial slur on the neighbor's home on Saturday, about 2 miles from and just before Toledo's annual African-American parade. Patricia Edelin, 47, is charged with criminal mischief, ethnic intimidation, and criminally damaging property. All misdemeanors. That's according to court records. She's a white lady. Shocking, right? Neighbors living across the street saw it and recorded it. It includes spray painting the N-word on the house. They told police they were afraid someone would burn down the home because of what was painted on it. And by the way, if you think, oh, why would they think that? Because it's fucking happened. It's fucking happened. By the way, white people, when you see other white people being racist, call them out on their fucking shit.
That's all you can do. That's the least you can
do. And by the way, specifically, if you have ever uttered the phrase, the black community needs to police itself.
Yeah.
It's time for the white community to police itself. We're not done. A manager at a CVS in Chicago called the police on a black woman after she was accused of using a counterfeit coupon.
Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even including all the black people that got the police called on them for going to their pool.
Yeah.
We had several of them last week's show. There was another one this week as well.
Oh, my God.
Anywho, CVS has now fired two employees for calling the cops on the woman, Camilla Hudson. In a post with a video on Facebook, she said the confrontation involved two managers during her visit to the store on a Friday night. I think I have the video. Or at least the audio where you can see it. So basically what you see is this white fella on the phone with the police, and she's narrating the video. Let's see if I can get that to unmute for us. And he's shaking.
She's wearing a green...
Tell them I'll be here when they arrive, that I will be waiting for them to arrive.
A white,
you can tell them her name is Camilla Hudson. I have ID and we'll share it.
Camilla Hudson. And it's probably spelled C-A-M-I-L-L-A-H-U-D-S-O-N.
You got it. Exactly. Like the river.
Maury, M-O-R-R-Y, Matson, M-A-T-S-O-N. African-American.
Black. No, I'm not African-American. I'm black. Black isn't a bad word.
Can you see his arm shaking?
Yeah. All right, thank you.
They thought she had a counterfeit coupon. Here's how you handle that. Ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't believe that coupon is good. Or... okay, ma'am, we don't think it's good, but we'll still honor it. Because how much was it for? A dollar?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Ah, by the way, here's the cherry on top of that. The fella, Maury Matson, he's running, to be the 48th Ward Alderman as an independent. This will surprise you as well. Not at all. He was a state delegate for the Donald Trump 2016 presidential campaign.
Oh, of course. Good for him.
Call out. Okay, let me just say this, and don't take this the wrong way. Wake up, white people, and call out your bullshit racist friends.
Yeah.
If they're talking racist, I don't care if you're just in a group privately. That's an important time to call
them
out.
That's the most important time.
And if anybody goes, hey, dude, what are you so upset about? You go, I'm upset because you're a fucking racist.
Yeah.
I'm upset because you're saying racist things, you're prejudging people, and you're causing our country to be
divided.
Divided and shitty. And it's not okay.
Not down with it, bro.
Not okay. And don't just do it on Facebook. Do it in their face and then hit them with a book.
You cannot do it on Facebook.
I mean, you can.
No, but it's never gonna. Just block those people and don't, like, you can't deal with them. You have to deal with those people in front, and you have to call them out in front of other people.
Your friends, your neighbors, and you know the ones, even your family members.
You might want to sit down and talk with your family members.
Your family, you have a family member who is going to say racist things.
If you think that they're racist, they probably are.
And here's the thing. Even if they are not outwardly racist in any other way than they say racially inappropriate things, just say, listen, that's not okay.
Yeah. If a family member says Oriental, referring to Asian people, like, you should definitely say something about that. No, I'm just like,
I don't know that that's the greatest example.
I'm trying to use, like,
because that was perfectly acceptable.
Look.
We went from Negro to Black to African American, and this lady's like, no, Black is not bad.
Yeah, Black.
Black is okay. Yeah. Now, if you call somebody Negro, it's a very dated thing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that you're racist. It's not up to date.
Right.
And if you call somebody who's Asian Oriental, you might want to go, you might want to update your vocabulary.
Yeah.
Don't go from zero to David Duke because that's just going to disqualify you. But just go, hey, do you really think that that's okay to say that?
Right.
Why do you think that's okay to say that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to, like, cause, like, people say, I guess that's, I'm not saying that I'm not equating it. What I'm saying is, those are little things. Like, somebody saying that, they're not racist, especially if you know, like, that person, but that is something that they should probably change.
Right. So, and some people will say, yeah, that's racist.
Yeah.
I bet if Diana Hong were here, and you said, hey, what if we called you Oriental? She would go, you're fucking racist.
Right.
I get it, but if you really want to make headway with people, you need to just go, do you really think that that's okay?
Yeah, do you think it's okay to say that word?
And then if they do, that's a very different conversation. Yeah. Or, why do you think it's okay to say that?
Yeah.
That's an even better one, because then they have to justify it.
Yeah.
They can't just say yes or no. Go, why do you think it's okay to say that?
We should give out lessons each week. We should look up and figure out a way
not be racist.
Well, to help white people call other white people out for being racist.
Oh, yes.
We need to do a how-to.
Oh, we'll have to work on that. Maybe we'll do some YouTube videos. We'll see. How to not be racist.
Or how to call out your white racist friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's plenty of stuff in there. So that's just this week.
Okay.
Awesome. This literally 7 days in America, the things that I came across that are blatantly racist bullshit.
Yeah.
That made the press that I found. That's insane. Stop it. Stop it. All right. So, now it's time for my story of the time that, my personal time with Donald Trump. I'm going to get the right music going here, okay? Because it was at a county fair.
Oh, yeah?
I know you wouldn't expect to see Donald Trump at a county fair, but there we were at the Orleans County Fair in Barton, Vermont. And this would have been back, late 80s. So,
okay.
I mean, a lot of people had no idea who this guy was. He's just a real estate guy.
Right.
At that point. And for whatever reason, he came up, got on Interstate 91 down in Connecticut, and just kept coming until he got to the Orleans County Fair in early August.
Awesome.
And so I see him, and I recognized him because I had a copy of Trump the Game, because, you know, I'd seen it on some stupid thing, and I'm like, oh, that would be kind of a weird thing to have. And I'm like, hey, dude, it's kind of hot and humid. why are you wearing a suit and a really long tie? And he said, listen, you gotta look classy all the time if you want to be classy. And I said, okay. And I said, you hungry? Let's go grab something to eat. So we did. We went over to the B&W stand, and you know, he got the got a really well done hamburger.
All right.
And had some of their greasy fries. They're famous for the greasy fries. If you go to Barton, Vermont in the summertime, you got to check out the B&W. It's like a local landmark. Seriously.
Yeah, fuck the A&W.
It's like a roadside stand. It's just a roadside stand, only open in the summer. And awesome. I don't even know if they're open this year. So anyway, we had that, and then we're like, let's hit the Midway. And at the time, they had what they called the Hoochie Coochie tents.
Oh.
Which were essentially large tents where there were stripper shows.
Huh.
And, you know, they had the guy out front going, he had the barker, and he'd go, it's showtime at the Hoochie Cooch.
All right.
And he looks at me, and I look at him, and, you know, at this point, I'm like 18, so of course I'm down to go.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, it's kind of weird, but he says he'll pay my way in.
Oh, why not then?
And I said, all right, let's go in and see. I hear a girl shoves a Coke bottle all the way up her cooch.
Oh, Hoochie Cooch.
Right, exactly. So we're in there for a while, like 5 or 10 minutes, and the young lady is about to trying to, although to me at this point she's an old lady because she's probably like 25 and I'm 18.
Right.
But anyway, she's got the Coke bottle and she looks like she's just about ready to do it, and I see him right up in the front, and he's reaching his tiny hand up there attempting to grab.
You can't grab the Hoochie Cooch.
You cannot grab at the Hoochie Cooch. So we got thrown out.
Oh, of course.
We got thrown out. Thankfully, not out of the fairgrounds, just out of the Hoochie Coochie tent. We were told not to come back. So I never went back to the Hoochie Cooch tent. Thanks.
That sucks.
And I'm like, all right, well, I'm starting to get tired. We need to get some sugar. And he goes, oh, really? Because I don't normally eat sugar. And he's walking in front of me, and I notice his hair's starting to thin a little bit.
Oh.
And we're walking down the Midway, and we're seeing, like, fried dough, and I'm like, fried dough? And he's like, ah, no, no. And we come across the cotton candy.
Yeah.
And he gets this glimmer in his eye as he sees them wisping the cotton candy up into this brilliant head around a stick. And it's no coincidence that his hair looks like wispy cotton candy on a stick now, and that's why. So we had the cotton candy, and then I'm like, I gotta go drain the lizard. And he goes, oh, I gotta go, you know, that B&W is going right through me. So we go into the bathrooms underneath the grandstands, and this is old timey stuff. These things were built like in the 40s.
Right.
So there's like two stalls, and there's people in there, and otherwise for the urinal it's just a trough.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm in there draining the lizard, and I look over, and I just hear him going, oh, oh. And then, I swear to God, if this is true as the day is long, Donald Trump backs up to the trough urinal, drops his pants, and takes a shit right in the end of the trough.
Who does that?
All right?
You don't take a shit in the trough.
You don't take a shit
in the
trough.
That's the thing. I knew that at like 5 years old.
Clearly, he did not know that. And I quickly left the bathroom because I no longer wanted to be associated with it.
Yeah, well...
True story. You know what's really funny about my true story? Everything that doesn't involve Donald Trump in that story is absolutely 100% true. There were Hoochie Coochie tents. There were barkers outside of them that would go, it's showtime at the Hoochie Cooch! And they would have a whole bunch of other things to get you in, like old-timey carnival barkers to get you to come look at strippers. It was a simpler time.
Not that way anymore?
No. They stopped having them like in the early 90s.
Oh, man. I want to go to Hoochie Cooch!
You don't want to go to the...
I want to see the Hoochie Cooch! Hoochie Coochie!
You know, ironically, that could be small-town news.
Yeah, it should be.
It's not.
The Hoochie Cooch tent?
The Hoochie Cooch tent.
I'm gonna look up Hoochie Coochie tent.
Well,
I need to know where to go.
I don't think they have them anymore. You can just go to the strip club. It's the same thing. All right, so last Friday was Friday the 13th, and Marilyn Haggerty says Friday the 13th, meh.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. That's what she says.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
She said most people around here will little note nor long remember that this is Friday the 13th. Those who've been around the block a while might think of the times when there was sort of a fear connected with such days. There was the admonition not to walk under a ladder on Friday the 13th, because it was supposed to bring bad luck. All I can say about it today is don't run under the sprinkler, you'll get wet. The second weekend in July rolls in with branches of trees still loitering on roofs and curbs around Grand Forks. Signs of last Sunday's windstorm are all over and still widespread. In other news, Jay Panzer was reelected to the president of the park board at its meeting Tuesday.
Okay.
Among the reports, the board heard that swimming is up this summer at the city pools. The last count was more, it was 2,600 more swimmers at two pools, Elks and Riverside, than last summer. This is headline Tricks or Treats. Ghosts, goblins, and balloon pumpkins are moving in on the amphitheater at nearby Turtle River State Park. Ghoul and goblin games begin at 8, and the Halloween in summer events continue Saturday. We've missed it. I'm sorry. Erica Coblo, park naturalist, says critter costumes will take over at 10 a.m. Saturday in the Visitor Center, and the Halloween in July costume contest begins at 6:30 at the amphitheater. Again, we missed that. Halloween in July happens every summer at the Turtle River State Park, and Coblo says participants don't need to be campers. It's open to all park visitors.
Oh, good.
Now, she says there's 108 modern campsites at Turtle River, and they have been full. It's time for the Q&A. Ask Marilyn, what are the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts up to this summer? Well, the Lake Agassiz District is holding its 32nd annual Boy Scout Lawn Social Wednesday. That's today. It begins at 5:30 at the Myra Museum. And now what about the Girl Scouts? Well, they're planning their annual camp LOL for the weekend of September 8th, and it will be at Turtle River State Park. Lisa McEvers, North Dakota Supreme Court Justice, will serve as celebrity judge.
So a judge is going to play a judge?
They're going to judge the Girl Scouts, apparently. And finally, the cheerful people of the week. The cheerful people of the week. Hold on, let me. I need some more music before we get
there. Hopefully, it's not a white racist guy.
Right. That would be really bad if it were. That would be terrible if she picked a racist. I'm gonna close that out. Let me get. God damn it! Hold on. Hold on one second, Jason.
Did you? Would you like me to hold on to?
did you enjoy the Trump story?
Oh yeah.
What was the best part for you?
Oh,
the realism. Took you right there.
Well, yeah. I'm still like.
By the way, the grandstand at the time was sort of a weird bluish mint green.
Oh, okay.
Corrugated metal.
Oh, I love
where it wasn't rusted.
And it was probably like hot, humid, and steamy in there, so you probably smelt that shit just as it came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Like, I guess for me, the best part of it is, the part where you left him. That's probably really the,
well, look, you
he was like left the guy there, like, with his, like, you know, with his shit in the trough. That's where you, like, stop pissing. Like, that's, like, the effect where, like, you're pissing, and you have to piss so bad, but then you, like, you see that happening, and, like, you
squeeze that prostate, and you just go, nope,
and you slip it up, because it's like, oh, well, he's mid-turd, he can't do anything. You know.
It's true. The cheerful people of the week are Patty McEnroe and Paul Fladland.
Oh. Cool.
That's what's going on in Grand Forks, North Dakota, where Kareem is headed in the general direction.
In the general direction, parallel to...
I'm really hoping he goes to the homie hoo-ha, because I want a first-hand account.
Oh, I hope he does, too.
Wow. I just hope they don't run him out of town.
Oh, he has his book.
I'm going to Facebook you. What are we going to do? All right. Oh, leaving you a little Wiz Khalifa.
Dope.
Coming up on the Friday episode of the show, before we go, The Iron Sheet tweeted, fuck the hashtag Prime Day. He also, over the weekend, because Hulk Hogan, we'll get into that. We'll get into the Hulk Hogan thing on Friday. We'll get into Sacha Baron Cohen's new show on Friday. Iron Sheik tweeted, respect my brother, Sacha Baron Cohen. He suplexed the earth. We'll get into what that, all of that is about. Plus, a new feature on Friday. We're going to air some grievances and, the new feature is Texas Corner. Texas Corner on the Friday show.
Awesome.
Don't be a racist. Or at least keep it to yourself.
Yeah, just keep it, like, listen, it's free thought. I don't want to police your thoughts.
Yeah.
Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
And don't let me know. Right. I will call you out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck.
We're tired of your fuckery.
We'll be going hard.
That's right. We'll see you on Friday. Bye. You'll be going hard. Yeah.